Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." Then when they heard this, they were amazed and left him and went away. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It was a gotcha moment. That's what was happening there in the temple. It was a gotcha moment. Here's what I know to be true based on the gospel. Jesus is teaching, just like Jesus has been doing for a while. If you remember last week, the Pharisees were hearing about what the kingdom of heaven may be like. And they didn't like what they were hearing. And so the opening line today is that they were plotting to catch him, to catch Jesus in a trap. Not a physical trap, because that only happens in cartoons, but in a verbal trap, a trap of intellect. So the Pharisees partner with the Herodians. Herodians. Now that's an interesting group of people to hear about. Herodians were people who supported the emperor. And on any given day, when people are in their right mind, the last two people you would expect to partner together would be the Pharisee and Herodians. But instead of bickering back and forth, they joined in together because they now have a common enemy. And that common enemy is a lanky, brown-skinned guy down at the temple who's screwing everything up for everybody, except for those who are truly listening to him. So they come together and they devise a plan, and the Pharisees send their disciples with some of the Herodians to trap Jesus in a question of intellect, in a question of, what's the word? Treason. That's the word I'm looking for. Jesus, is it okay to pay taxes? That's what they're asking. But you got to understand, this is not like the taxes that are withheld from our paycheck. This is not like Social Security or Medicare or anything being withheld from our paycheck. The tax that they're asking about is something akin to protection money. Okay? Protection money. The mob is famous for this. You want to be able to run your business on this street in our neighborhood, then you have to pay some protection money so that we don't come in and torch your place or shut you down or worse. So the Pharisees' disciples And the Herodians are trapping Jesus. They first start off with flattery. Did you catch that? Jesus, we know that you don't talk bad about anybody. We know that you don't treat anybody with partiality. We know that you are excellently educated in the scripture. So answer us this. And what does Jesus say? Who's on the coin? That's the other thing, too. You could only use this particular coin to pay the tax. You couldn't use whatever money you had at home. You had to have this coin. And on this coin is the head of the emperor. That's adding insult to injury. Not only did you have to pay this tax so that you could remain oppressed, but you couldn't use your own money. You had to use special money. Jesus says, whose head is on that coin? And the Pharisees and the Herodians are only too eager to say, Herod, the emperor. And Jesus says, bring me that coin. And they fished into their pocket and they found one and they brought it out. Jesus says, give to what is Caesar's, and give to God that which is God's. The trap that they had set for him, he did not step into. But he lured them into it. And here's how he did that. The Pharisees know the law backwards and forwards. That's what they're good at. They're good at telling you how much you're sinning and what you need to do in order to be wiped clean. But in the Ten Commandments, which is the law of the laws, thou shalt have no other God, and thou shalt not have any graven images. This coin that they fished out of their pocket and brought to Jesus is a graven image, is an idol. And they brought it into the temple. And in front of everybody that is supposed to be respecting the Pharisees, because they've told them 100 million times, you need to respect us because we're Pharisees. Jesus demonstrated for all of those where their heart truly lies. I just want you to put a pin in that point for right now. Just highlight that and move it off to the side for a second. But remember, where their heart truly lies. How many people in the room have been baptized? Raise your hand. And for those who haven't, it's okay. All right? I will get some water right now. We can make it happen, or we can have a conversation after the service. I'm all about baptism. On a early spring morning in 1973, I imagine that the azaleas in front of my house were blooming in pink and red and white, and that the dogwood tree had begun to blossom as well. That sweet summer smell, the one that reminds you that summer is coming, of wisteria, was drifting on the wind. And I imagine in my home that particular morning that my dad was dressed in his Sunday best, and that my mother was dressed in her Sunday best, and that my older brother was dressed in his Sunday best, and he was tugging at his tie. And there I was, maybe 5 months old, 4 and a half. And I imagine that the current of joy and hope buzzing through my house sounded a lot like the current of electricity when we quiet ourselves enough at home to hear it buzz. It was my baptism day. And I was wearing a gown, and I was going to go to the church that my mom and my aunts had been baptized in, and it was going to be glorious. And around the font were my family and my godparents. I get to that point where the priest takes some oil and marks the cross. It says, "You are sealed and marked as Christ's own forever." Forever. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but give to God what belongs to God. In our baptism, we are received into the family of God, into the household of God, and we become God's own in that moment. If you find yourself here this morning and you haven't been baptized, please rest assured that the promise of God is yours already. Baptism is just an occasion where we receive it. The promise of God is yours already. And when we are baptized by water and the Holy Spirit, the gifts that we have been given are then nurtured, held, crafted in such that as we grow into the full stature of Christ, that we learn where we use the gifts we have been given to be the hands and feet of God in this world. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give to God what belongs to God. If you have spent any time in an Episcopal church or any denomination, probably for that matter, you've heard time, talent, and treasure. Say it with me. Time, talent, and treasure. What of that belongs to God? Amen. All of it. All of it belongs to God. And you know why? Because all of us belong to God. All of us belong to God. On the front of our bulletin, I understand this is our mission statement, right? Knowing that all things come from God, we seek to manifest the love of Christ through worship, justice, and community. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give to God what belongs to God. Please turn with me into your Book of Common Prayer on page 304. Down at the bottom there. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. I don't care. Give to God what belongs to God. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in the prayers? Will you persevere in resisting evil and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give to God what belongs to God. And in that, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we do not do it alone. We're about to embark in the season of stewardship, or as I would like to call it, the season of lifelong gratitude. Rest assured that we cannot do the work that we're supposed to do here through and around St. Anne's without your time, talent, and treasure. And I will invite you as we make our way to Ingathering Sunday, which is the first Sunday of December, to sit down with God and say, What of my heart can I give to you, God? Because as we learn in our baptism, and as we learn as a faith community, and as we learn as being brothers and sisters and neighbors to each other, we don't do this alone, and we cannot do this alone, and that we must invite God into the conversation. So that when it comes time to decide, what will I make this year as my promise to the church? What will I make this year as my promise to my brothers and sisters in the pew? What will I do this year as a promise that I make that you and God only know? Invite God into that conversation. It's a holy conversation. We have been marked as Christ's own forever. So all that we do, all that we say, all that we pray belongs to God. We're not in the business of trying to catch Jesus in a trap. We are in the business of glorifying God. And one of the many ways we get to glorify God is to celebrate the gifts that God has given us. And there are many forms, and there are many fashions. So we're going to hear a little bit about gratitude and stewardship in the weeks to come. And sometimes that's a really frustrating topic, a scary topic. We weren't raised to talk about money in public. And in my opinion, the church talked about sex and gender for so long because they didn't want to talk about money. But guess what? We have to. And there's an old adage that Jesus talked more about money than anything else when it came to our relationship. So, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. But remember, you are sealed and marked as Christ's own forever. So give to God what belongs to God. Amen.
Amen.